Part 1 Chapter 1 We run. My heels crunch sandy shale as my legs pound a steady rhythm. With every fourth step, I suck a lungful of dry air. My chest burns, my thighs ache, and the little toe of my left foot stings with the agony of a ripped blister. Ahead, Belen glances over his shoulder to check on the rest of us. His boots and his tunic and even his leather eye patch are tinged brownish orange with the dust of this desert plateau. We've fallen too far behind, and it's my fault. He checks his stride, but I wave him on. My companions, an assassin, a lady-in-waiting, and a failed sorcerer, are all more accustomed than I am to hard travel, and I dare not slow us down. We must take advantage of this flat, easy terrain while we can, for we have less than 2 months to cross the Sierra Sangre, sneak into enemy territory, free Hector, and escape. Otherwise, he dies, and the country we've sacrificed so much to save descends into civil war. I unclench my fists, relax my shoulders so my arms swing loose, and spring a little harder off my toes. The burn in my thighs intensifies, but it's only pain, and not nearly the worst I've felt. I'm stronger than I've ever been. Iron clatters behind me, brittle and sharp. I stop cold and spin, anger bubbling in my chest. But Storm's uncannily beautiful face is so furrowed with frustration that I soften toward him immediately. His chains have come loose again. They drag in the dust now, streaming from his manacled ankles, each about the length of my forearm. They are magic, forged, impossible to remove. The best we can do is wrap them in his leggings so they don't interfere with his stride, or worse, announce our passage. Mara, my lady-in-waiting, hitches her quiver of arrows higher up onto her shoulder and wipes sweat from her eyes with a filthy sleeve. She sets her bow on the ground and crouches beside Storm's boots.
Maybe if we weave the ties of your boots through the chains.
Storm stretches out an ankle for her. I scowl to see my friend bowed at his feet like a supplicant while he accepts her ministrations with an air of supreme boredom. Mara, I say. She turns a dirt-smeared face to me. Storm will be responsible for his chains from now on.
Oh, I don't mind, she says.
I do. Sometimes it's up to me to keep my companions from giving too much of themselves. I wave her off with a mock glare. She rolls her eyes at me, but she grabs her bow and steps away. Storm looks back and forth between us, and I half expect him to protest, but then he shrugs and hunkers down to tend the chains himself.
We can't go on like this.
The low voice in my ear makes me jump. Belen skims the ground like a ghost, even when stealth is unnecessary. The next village will have horses that haven't been conscripted, I tell him. It has to.
And if it doesn't?
I turn on him. It's bad enough knowing I'll have to mount one of the horrible creatures, but it's worse to consider what I must do in order to accomplish it. I say, if the conscription has reached this far east, we'll steal some.
We're at the very edge of the kingdom, Mara protests.
Storm straightens and shakes a leg experimentally. The chain stays put.
Conde Eduardo has been planning his rebellion for a long time, he says. Maybe years. We won't find available transportation until we're in the mountains.
My blood boils from heat and from anger. Eduardo is one of Hoya's most powerful and trusted lords, a member of the Quorum of Five, no less. But he has robbed hundreds, maybe thousands, of their livelihoods to feed his ambition. He has taken their horses and camels, their carriages and food stores,
even their young men, for military use. And he has done it so that he can divide my country and crown himself a king.